Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
You know, the fact is that for we as men, love covers a multitude of sins. And the reality is the most difficult year of your marriage is probably the one that you're in right now.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these lessons from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today, Pastor Herron takes us to the book of Colossians as we continue our series on making a difference with a message entitled, How to Be a Difference-Making Family.
Turn to Colossians chapter 3, if you would. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to be reading 5 verses that really is a encapsulation of the area we want to talk about on the area of family. We are managers of God's property, God's resources. That's us as a person in relationship to other people like children and giving them the chance for life. And as a church, we're committed to that with our own involvement, speaking for life and encouraging that and some form of helping the orphans, because as we've preached many times, particularly in the book of James, the priority that God places on children and our involvement helping them. And so that is not much different today than what it was in the day of Paul when he wrote this in Colossians chapter 3. Let's look together at verse 17 through verse 21. Let's read this out loud together. This will be the text we'll be looking at. Colossians 3, 17. Ready? And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. This next verse about servants, I think, ties in with the area of family, because in most families in that day, they had some servant, somebody helping in the household. And all of this is in relationship to our stewardship with family. And Paul prefaced it by saying, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. We're going to talk about that today, what God has to say about a difference-making family and how to be a difference-making family. You end up finding a society in Paul's day that has similar issues to today as well in our own country. In fact, probably worse. It was in its day in which Paul wrote Colossians that you end up finding a society in which the value of family was being lessened and lessened, and choices and decisions that are made in which there was life not given to life. And in many occasions, in the case of children, that if that child was born and it wasn't a male, that it was left on the side of the streets to be picked up, either to sold into prostitution or sold off to other people for other uses. Even the marriage contracts that were annulled and given away with very little light to the fact of a relationship that should be a commitment. And it was a common practice for men to be able to go to the gym and have other activities besides just the physical, but the sexual. It was common. It was no problem for abortions to be given quickly with methods that were very common in that day in the East. Behind all of that, a greater, more immediate response that we can all have is the response that Paul gives to Colossians there in the letter in chapter 3. And he elevated with these 4 components. They're right in the text. Let me give them to you, and then we'll give you what I think to be simple 4 points of advice. And these are pieces of advice. But these are the 4 components. He says, number 1, look at it. It's right in text, verse 18. He talks about wives to husbands. That's the first component. Wives to husbands. That's what he says. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. The second component he mentions is husbands, love your wives. Don't be bitter against them. Verse 19. And if you're taking notes, the third component is children to parents. He says, now listen, children, you obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing to God or to the Lord. And then the fourth component, fathers, and really the term fathers can also imply in the Greek parents, and so I'm going to put parents to your children. These are all components of a healthy difference-making family. These believers are hearing Paul say this, and immediately they themselves are feeling a sense of failure, particularly as he gives his pieces of advice that I'm going to get to. So they're hearing this. Many of them that were Jews, many of them were Jews that had gotten saved and found that Christ is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament. But they themselves, any of them that were Jews that grew up in a Jewish home, immediately knew that in this particular families of the Old Testament, that these were families that weren't perfect either. Fact is, look at Matthew 1 for one moment. Let's just take a quick second on this because I think it's important. This is a part of the reason why Matthew, a Jew, said in Matthew chapter 1, he lists these generations. He mentions in verse 17, all the generations then. Notice from Abraham to David, those are 14 generations. And he documents them. And then from David to the carrying away into Babylon, that was another 14. And then from the carrying away of Babylon captivity into who Christ was at the day Christ was born, there's 14 more generations. Now, the reality is we know there were other people not mentioned this, but for whatever reason, there were 14 different generations mentioned. And then you read Matthew chapter 1, verse 3. And Judah begat Perez and Zerah. And who are they of? Tamar, the Old Testament Tamar. That is big problems. This guy goes in and ends up having an incestuous relationship, and he's thinking it's a prostitute, and she becomes known she's pregnant, and they drag her out of the house. They're going to burn her because that's what you do with prostitutes in that day. And she says, oh, hold on just a moment, please. You know the guy I was with? Yeah, here's his staff. Here's his signet. And guess whose they were? Judah's. And Judah says what? Genesis 38. She's more righteous than me. And you know what? This is in the lineage of the very first family, Christ, the human lineage of who Jesus is. And Matthew honestly says, here's Tamar and all of that. And everybody knew that. On top of the fact, he mentions four other women, Rahab, which is a prostitute, Ruth, which is a Gentile, as well as verse 6, wife of Uriah, Bathsheba, who also had an immoral relationship with David. You know why I say all this? Because here is the simple point to the matter. The simple point is, and I think it's so important before I walk into this, that the Old Testament illustration of a difference-making family is that this wasn't a list of great ancestors. It's a lineage of grace-soaked people. Because it wasn't, listen to me, it wasn't about their failures in the past. It was about their faith in a Jehovah God that is a great, loving, forgiving God that takes all of their baggage from the past and all the stains of all of that, and out of it brings who? Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. The reality is, all of us have baggage. None of us stand here perfect. We all have issues. But it's level at the foot of the cross that Christ said, this is why I've come into the world, to save sinners. And Paul said, I'm the chiefest. And that our civilization and our society and our country is no better than it was in Paul's day. In some ways, we've got a more blessed heritage in America than any other country still today. But that is a backdrop of these people knowing this history, as I just briefly gave to you, hear these words. They weren't one of condemnation. They were ones of instruction and demonstration, saying this is possible if you are doing this in the name of Christ, if you're doing this in the power and authority of who Christ is, who wants to be preeminent in your life, you can do that. And you're one of those four components, you can do that. How do you do that? What do? These are the four. They're not complicated. Let me give them to you and I'll close. Number one, for wives to husbands, husbands to wives, children to parents, and parents to children. These are the components. What's the piece of advice? For wives to husbands, this is how Paul summarized it. These less than 50 words, as much as it was, and less than the preamble of the Constitution. He's very thumbnail in his descriptions. This is what he says, Colossians chapter 3. What does he say to the wives? He says, wives, you submit yourself to your husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Very simply, what he meant by that, can I summarize it? He's saying, listen, you realize your place and your influence. He says, you realize your place and your influence. When he says submit yourselves, very simply, it's the same idea of a military term, which is this: there's a rank, there's an order, this is how we do it. Many of you that are military, you can only imagine if you didn't have some kind of ranking so that you know this guy's in charge, and if he gets killed, this guy's in charge, if he gets killed, this person's in charge, or this girl's in charge, but there's a rank, there's an order. The same thing you understand in athletics, it's the same idea. Somebody's got to be the quarterback. Somebody's got to be the person who says, this is the play we're going to run, and we're all going to run it together. It's the same idea with an orchestra or a choir. There's somebody that's conducting it. This is not, very simply, about capability. This is just about function. Boy, so you ladies, please don't say, well, you know, hey, you know, submission, it's a bad term. Listen, as Les Olah has said so many times here, where he defines submission as ducking so God can hit your husband. Probably a good way to look at it. Hey, listen, I didn't make that. That guy made that. He made that decision. Hey, let God deal with your husband. But I'm going to tell you something. As soon as you feel, well, you know, the Spirit of God came on me and I've got greater wisdom than my husband. And you might. You're smarter than your husband. You probably are. It's not about how smart you are. It's not about what gender you are. This is just God's pattern saying somebody's got to be in charge and I'm putting the husbands in charge. And I'm going to tell you something. For most men, you get to point in life where, I don't know if I want to be in charge. I don't know if I like this. And the reality is, we're all going to make bad mistakes and failures. It's not about that. It's about knowing Christ. You've come into our life and our family, and you want to show yourself mighty. You're number one. You're the preeminence, Colossians 1:18. And in all things, you would have the preeminence. So help me as a husband to be able to handle this rightly. And he says for the wives, listen, you very simply realize your place. You submit yourself. And your influence, because you have an influence. The fact is, the husbands are the head of the house, but the wives are the neck that many times turns the head. So be in a place to understand that God says for you wives, you realize your place and your influence. Then he says, secondly, a point of advice to the second component of husbands to your wives. And very simply, he says it this way in verse 19, and not complicated, husbands, you love your wives. You got agapeo, or agape, your wife. It's a love for your wife that only God can give to you. And don't be bitter against them. Don't get irritated. The same idea as a small prick. And it bugs you, and it's like a splinter. And it's her little weaknesses that you can end up focusing on and creating great bitterness. And that's why he simply says, you remain in love. You love her. And it's the idea of the tense of you continue to love her. And don't get irritated. Don't live in irritation. I don't know how many men that's all they think about is all of the irritations and all the things their wives aren't doing that creates them and puts them in a place now of discontent and in some occasions leads them to wrong choices and decisions and to abandon their family. When the reality is there are so many other good things about it, and this is why he says remain in love. Whoever made this statement was true, that girls have a tendency to marry men just like their fathers. That's why mothers normally cry at weddings. Hey, listen, you know, the fact is that for we as men, love covers a multitude of sins. And the reality is the most difficult year of your marriage is probably the one that you're in right now. But the reality is for most families, if they would just stay to these simple advice, probably their families would be a whole lot better. Well, the reality is he's saying, listen, for husbands, you remain in love and don't get irritated. And I'm saying to you in this light, listen, for our families to be good stewards, you have to be able to take time and you've got to be able to work at it, and it does take time.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.